Football Friday is here. It's time for Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas.
Obviously, Antonio Brown proved it. He's ended up with the Patriots. Just act that way and you end up with the Patriots.
If Antonio Brown could come into New England and keep his act together, he would make the New England Patriots offense substantially better.
I'm just here to just focus on ball and look forward to getting out there in the home stadium and being with the team.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
You're at Golden Nugget here on a Friday. Former NFL player Mark McMillan, part of our Football Friday shows. Adam Hill is here. Cofield as well. Antonio Brown. Lots of talk about how devastating this Patriot team would be with AB. Well, he was fired earlier today. Around 1 o'clock, the Patriots told AB to hit the bricks. That's going to be our top story. We'll get into that more during the Big Five.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
Let's start off with a little college football. Game of the weekend, Georgia, Notre Dame, at least from a name standpoint. Is it going to be a good game?
No. I think that's the easy answer.
Why not?
I don't know. I just don't think Notre Dame is that good. That is my impression of them. I just think Georgia is a much better team. Now, anything can happen in any game. I just think going in, I don't have any expectations that it's going to be close. I have a feeling it's going to be a blowout and not a very entertaining game, although it could at least have scoring. I think Georgia can score, while there's other games this week that are high profile, but I think could be close but kind of boring. So I guess if you want scoring and if you don't care about a close game, you might like the Georgia game.
It seems like every time we put Notre Dame up on a pedestal, they're right there. They have a good team. They have a good chance of winning. They go out and piss the bed. And when you go against Georgia and you got to travel down south playing in a hostile environment, you're playing against a team that can very well win the national championship in Georgia, I don't see this game being close at all either.
Are there any legit excuses as to why Notre Dame can't beat these teams? That they can't have the same level talent as Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, and other elite programs out there? Because I hear excuses from Notre Dame fans, and I'm not buying it.
Well, admission standards, all of those things, you always hear.
Yeah. It's bullcrap.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and it's a great university. They used to get the really tough guys, the guys that get in your face, the guys that was physical. But now it seems like I don't know what kind of players that they're putting out there. But they're 4- and 5-star guys. And I don't care about the 4- and 5-star guys either. That doesn't mean
But I don't want to hear they don't have players.
Yeah.
All right, so they're
they got
tick,
players.
So they're a tick better. First of all, they're not being admitted at Notre Dame standards. They lower the standards, as every school does, for their football program. Right. But I don't want to hear that, they can compete talent-wise. Like you said, they're still getting – they're on the list of just about anyone in their top seven.
And they're getting guys drafted in the National Football League every year. Top draft picks.
Maybe it's Brian Kelly. Good coach, maybe not a great coach.
Yeah, and again, I mean, they're a top 10 team. I don't know if they actually are. They're in the top 10. Like, they're a very, very good program. I think right now they're kind of around the same spot that Michigan is. And, I've talked about Michigan a lot. I'm not disappointed necessarily in Harbaugh. They haven't been elite, but they've been very good. And I keep getting the sense that they're just one step away and they're not quite making that step. But I think they're kind of in a similar position.
Next up.
Number four.
All right, Miami got his taco. Cheesy line. Do you hate this move, Adam? Miami, the Dolphins, after seeing Taco Charlton, first-round pick, dumped by the Cowboys, they picked him up.
Is he bad enough to help them? And when I say help them, I mean lose? And that's their goal. I guess he's a guy that they're hoping to take a shot on that will start to live up to his potential, and they have time. Like, they don't care if he's good this year.
Right.
If they can develop him and he's good next year, and if they've got younger players who have talent, then that actually want to play. Well, I guess he doesn't want to. He got claim. But, like, if they've got guys that will buy in and be there for the process, and he's a guy that I think knows that he needed another chance, it kind of makes sense for him to go into that scenario and try to build up with the team.
Maybe. It's tough to win in Miami.
Well, they don't want to.
It's got a lot of distraction down there.
Oh,
you got South
too.
Beach. So Taco, I don't know. That, like I said, he was out on the market. He was a top pick. He just didn't pan out with the Cowboys. And like I said, Miami, who knows what they're doing?
Well, how do you react when you hear
a guy named Taco?
When you hear Adam Hill say constantly that they're trying to lose?
I don't think a guy, like I said, coming from a professional standpoint, like I said, when we were in New Orleans, we didn't win a lot of games. And we knew we were outmatched, but one thing I knew about the guys that we had in our locker room, we were never trying to throw a game because you're competing, and that's your job. And the last thing you want to do is have your phone blowing up or be on ESPN. It's a pride thing. Once you reach that plateau, it's a pride thing. They're just not a very good football team. They're a terrible football team.
But
terrible.
It's by design. I mean, the story came out in the offseason that, I mean, they're the first team to basically admit that they're trying to lose. But then they kind of backtracked and said, oh, it was, you know, out of context and that sort of thing. But that is their goal. They are trying to lose. They are trying to accumulate draft picks. They're trying to draft as high as they can the next couple of drafts and then try to build with the young players. The problem they have is they're trying to build around guys like Minkah Fitzpatrick, who then is like, I'm not going to be here for this. I'm not going to be a part of this tanking and rebuilding because in the NFL, your average career is 3 years. So, you're going to rebuild for the next 3 years, and then I might not be playing after that.
So, the chosen one is the starter now, Josh Rosen. So, I don't know how that's going to work out.
Top three stories.
Number three.
What was your top story out of the Thursday night football game between the Titans and the Jags? Jags win.
Mine was, I don't know what the Titans are doing. I don't know what they're doing in a lot of ways. Now, I said before the year that there's no reason Marcus Mariota is a starting quarterback. I don't understand why. I don't get it. I don't know what they're doing. I think it was only a contract thing that, hey, we're paying and we're going to make him the starter. It doesn't make sense anymore. He's not good. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know that he ever was really good. He's not a good quarterback. And whatever is going on in his mind, he's not playing well. But my biggest problem is what are they trying to – what happened at the end of the game? They didn't seem to have any sense of urgency down two scores for most of the second half. The fourth quarter, they're still trying to come out and run their offense, which is fine. You're only down two scores. Run your offense. Try to get what you can get. They get the ball with 3 minutes left and a timeout. Down 13. They run the ball and huddle. Why? What are you doing?
Point
it's
shaving.
Two scores.
They're point shaving.
I don't know what they're doing. I have no concept of why. I get mad at this all the time. Every week I come in and yell about teams early in the fourth quarter that are down two scores that stay in their base offense. They don't hurry up. Like, hey, we only need two possessions. Yeah, but if you hurry up, you can get four. Maybe you score on two of the four instead of needing to score on both your shots here. But with 3 minutes left, You're not going to try to throw the ball and at least go no huddle. They ran the ball in first down from their own 15 with a timeout and 3 minutes left, and
that's
then huddled.
Amazing. On the other side, Jalen Ramsey, the story, he played.
Played well.
His people claim that he's going to be gone by next weekend. Adam, are you hearing anything from Raiders people that, well, I mean, Josiane Anderson claims that everyone in the league is called and that the Raiders are one of the five or six teams that have the most interest.
Yeah.
Is that true?
From everything we're hearing, yes, it's true that they're interested. I don't think they're thrilled with the asking price, which is essentially what they gave up for Khalil Mack, or what they got in return for Khalil Mack.
Well, what's the asking price? Two ones?
Two ones, and potentially more, because they think they're going to get two ones from several teams, so now you're going to have to sweeten the pot on the two ones, and maybe have, you know, two ones that are high draft picks, which the Raiders should be. It seems like a very high asking price, but he's an elite player. He's an elite talent at a very important position, and if you've got a guy that can lock down on one side of the field and you can have 10 guys to play the rest of the field and not worry about one receiver, it's very, very impactful for your defense, and they need all the help they can get.
I don't think I would give up two ones, but, hey, Mark, you played the position. Jalen Ramsey is the prototypical, you know, big corner. He can do everything because if you trade two ones, you're also then signing him to $16 million a year, so right. You have to figure, hey, how can I build my team with that kind of salary on it? Can you do both? Can you trade the two ones and pay him big money?
No, you can't do that. You don't build your team around a defensive back anyway. You build your team around.
I love the objectivity. Nice.
Well, you build your team around the front guys up front. I don't care how good Jalen Ramsey is in the secondary. If you don't have guys that can get after the quarterback up front, it doesn't matter how good he is. So if they don't get address the situation up front, it doesn't matter. And I don't think he'll want to go to Oakland anyway. Who wants to go to Oakland? And they're tanking. You might as well just stay with stay with Jaguars.
Well, the Raiders are tanking. They're trying to go young. He would be actually a great building block. But to me, if it took a one this year, probably the because they have the Bears one, right, Adam? So,
yeah.
Which could be could be a good pick because the Bears could be Bears could be a six or seven win team. Huh. If it's a one, a future two, I don't know if it's going to get it done.
That's a lot of money for a court, for a defensive back.
That's what it takes, though. So, if he's a top five cornerback, then he's going to be $15, $16 million.
Yeah, he's so good.
They still need a quarterback.
Well,
that's a whole other stomach.
That's something else to address. It's a really tough decision, especially, like we said, you just committed to building draft picks,
yeah,
to stockpiling draft picks, and said one player wasn't worth that, and you traded Khalil Mack, and you've had to deal with this backlash for over a year now, and now you're going to say, oh, yeah, but that guy is? And now you're bringing him into a situation where you're like, he better be darn good, because right, he's got to be better than Khalil Mack was.
And he's not better than Khalil Mack.
No.
No.
No, and he does have a rep of being a bit of a pain in the ass.
And yeah, I can see him being a pain in the tail with the Raiders too. I can see it.
I don't know, after what went, you know, just went down last couple weeks before they got rid of Antonio Brown, maybe they're like, all right, let's not do this again. I'm not saying that Jalen Ramsey is anything close to Antonio Brown. No. Top two stories.
Number two.
So one of the most fun games of the year should be the Ravens, the Chiefs, Lamar Jackson at quarterback against Pat Mahomes. We'll play a little sound here. I'll use a cheesy line. Lamar Jackson has got to have Bill Polian rolling over in his grave. Remember what he said about 18 months ago.
I think wide receiver, exceptional athlete, exceptional ability to make you miss, exceptional acceleration, exceptional instinct with the ball in his hand, and that's rare for wide receivers. That's A.B. and who else? Name me another one who's like that, right? Yeah. Julio's not even like that.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So that was Bill Polian. And he was actually asked by a SportsCenter donk, should Lamar Jackson be a quarterback or a receiver? But he said confidently, wide receiver. I mean, I know it's only been, 18 games, and it's a little less than that, but a season plus. But he ain't a wide receiver. He's a legit quarterback.
Yeah, he is. And I was all in on him as a quarterback. I loved him coming into the year. I never saw this, what he's done the first couple of games. But I think a lot of times people just have a narrative and they kind of stick with it and don't actually take the time to do it. Seeing a lot of the film I saw on Lamar Jackson in the offseason, it was like he was a really good thrower last year. And somehow the narrative emerged that he wasn't, I think because people just assumed that he wouldn't be. Yeah. He threw the ball really well, and he's throwing it incredibly well now. And obviously the field is wide open because you've got to cover sideline to sideline because they've got the running game, and he can kill you with the run as well. But he went week one airing it out all the time. Last week they played for the pass, and he ran all over them. He can really change everything you do defensively and give you nightmares as a defensive coordinator. As long as he keeps throwing somewhat consistently as he has been, he's going to be a very, very good quarterback.
Listen to part two of what Bill Polian said about Lamar Jackson. Clearly, he hadn't done a whole lot of research.
And again, short and a little bit slight, clearly not the thrower that the other guys are. The accuracy isn't there.
Yeah.
So I would say don't wait to make that change.
Not the thrower the other guys are, Adam. That included the other guys like Josh Allen in the same draft. Bill Polian said that Lamar Jackson isn't the thrower that Josh Allen is. What do you think when you hear this?
It's asinine. I think he fell into that stigma of being a black quarterback and being athletic coming out of college. So that stigma has followed him into the National Football League. But if you're a defensive coordinator, you got to prepare for this guy. As you've seen week in and week out, the guy can throw the football. Bill sounded like he was on that sauce.
And I'm telling you, folks who are like, oh, that doesn't happen, I cannot remember the person. Adam, can you remember who was the person who was talking about Dwayne Haskins being a good runner?
Oh, I can't even remember.
And because I know we covered it. I'm like, Dwayne Haskins is obviously – I think he has a chance to be a good quarterback. But he ain't a good runner.
No, he's not a good runner.
I mean, so, again, that just comes down – that's skin color at that point. Now you're just going with a stereotype that all black dudes are running quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Dwayne Haskins, I mean, that's like – that would be going back, 20 years ago. And, you know, Byron Leftwich can really get out there on his horse. Like, no, he can't. No, he can't. He's a giant human being. He's not running.
But it kind of works the other way a little bit as well in that Josh Allen can't throw the ball. Yeah. He is not a quarterback. Well, what have I said? He is a running back.
What have I said
but
about Johnson?
Nobody says it about
him. I say it all the time. Because he's white, so
he has to be a good thrower.
Josh, I've said it from the beginning. Josh Allen is white Vince Young.
Yeah.
He is.
Of course. He's
the same guy.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that to light. A lot of people won't say that, though. A lot of people won't say it. I don't know. A lot of people won't say it.
But we said it here. That's his skill set.
You are who you are.
And it doesn't mean he's a terrible quarterback. You think he is, but I actually think his legs make him dangerous. Hopefully, you know, he gets better as a passer and stays focused. Vince Young didn't do that, unfortunately. He was, I mean, gifted like, you know, just about anyone who's played the position. A giant man. And that's, you know, Josh Allen's the same thing. He's a horse. He's 6'5 and 240 pounds. And he can run.
He's Caucasian.
I know. It's difficult for people to wrap their heads around it. All right, how about this one? Let's talk about what's a classic quarterback rivalry over the years. Would it be Brady and Manning?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a chance that Lamar Jackson, because that was an AFC battle forever, could Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes be the Brady and Manning of our era? Right now, people's heads are exploding. Like, what?
I mean, it's the two elite powers in the AFC.
I don't know if the Ravens are an elite power, but I mean, they're two of the most exciting young quarterbacks. So what if they are around for the next 12, 15 years? I mean, it could be Brady and Manning. They actually could be the two best quarterbacks in the league.
Obviously, I mean, next generation, because the Patriots are still there. But, I mean, it's the two, I think, teams for the next decade that are going to be really, really good, especially with those quarterbacks. Now, the challenge is to continue to build teams when those guys get their massive extensions and they're, you know, you're starting to deal with the cap struggles of paying quarterbacks $30 million, but they're both going to get them. And then you have to try to build a team around those guys that make a ton of money. But, yeah, I think that they can be certainly, you know, two of the top quarterbacks in that conference for a long time and have a good rivalry going back and forth in the same way that those guys did. I'm looking forward to see them match up this weekend.
Top story.
Number one.
Sorry, I was sidetracked there. I was going to try to do the black to white because we love doing that. I was going to be like, I'm telling you, Mark, when Eric Weddle came out, I thought he was identical. No, not the case. All right, big news of the day, if you haven't heard, Antonio Brown, Patriots, marriage made in heaven went to hell. Middle of the day today. Adam, you think Antonio Brown, the final straw, the reason he was released by the Patriots today was what? These texts that came out?
The text messages from this morning and the fact that was all that Belichick was asked about in the press conference. And I don't know if he had already decided before that or if he made the decision. He just walked out of the press conference and said that's enough. But having another story today with the follow-up text messages, I think was just too much. And they just looked at it and said, you know what? This is going to be a story every day. We can't deal with this. They don't, like I said earlier, they don't care about the act. They care about how long it goes on and how much they continue to have to deal with in the aftermath.
And it's on a Friday. You figure he practiced all week. You go through all your preparation. It's probably in the game plan. So it had to be really, really bad for them to pull the trigger on a Friday. Are they home or away?
Home.
They're at home, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's even worse.
Well, AB has been very, I don't know, mature is the right word about this. I mean, he sent out the tweet, like, thanks for the opportunity. He was on Instagram, a picture of him and Belichick talking on the sideline last week, and he was like, great working with you.
He's bipolar. Like,
what is he doing?
He's bipolar. Something ain't right.
Well, it's probably a last-ditch effort to make sure that some teams consider him, but yeah.
Maybe the Dolphins will bring him over.
What do you think what do you think he's thinking right now? Like, hey,
damn.
You know what? Eventually, I'm going to – all this will be proven false. I'll be in the clear. Of course I'm going to play in the NFL again. Is that where his head is?
If he didn't smoke medical marijuana, he's smoking medical marijuana right now. There's no way you can sit back and be sane and be like, damn, I left a lot of money on the table. How can I screw up playing with Tom Brady? He had a good game last week. He actually scored. He was very candid. He was cool. And all of a sudden,
a favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Favorite to win the Super Bowl. And as a player, that's what you want to play for. You play to win a Super Bowl. And now you got to sit back and be like, man, I let all that go. You got to be some kind of stupid.
I wonder if the Patriots and Belichick specifically sat down with him and kind of laid out a game plan, or they just brought him in. They're like, hey, dude, they simply said, stay on the straight and narrow, and we're good to go. Or did they really make an effort to explain to him, like, there's no leeway here. Do not make another mistake. I just wonder if there was a conversation like middle of the week, you know, where it was all good and Bill's like, just, you know, stay calm. don't do anything stupid. And then all of a sudden he wakes up on Friday morning. He's like, what? What did he do? I just talked to him. Come on. I know that's not Belichick's voice. Or his emotion.
It might be. It might be when he's actually doing, when he's actually being a human and not the media Belichick.
So what do we think? He's done in the NFL this year or for good?
The thing about, Adam hit it on earlier, man, talent. The kid has talent. And there's somebody out there that's crazy enough to be like, well, he can help our football team.
They might have to wait until whatever is settled with the accuser.
Like, no one's going to make a move after until something happens with the first accuser.
Well, like, if we're to trust, like, ballers as real life, because I think it is.
Ball is life.
Yeah. If the you know, when they're going to the league and, like, hey, do we need to know anything about this guy before we sign him? Anything else coming out? I think the league has started their investigation. They talked to the accuser. I think once the league comes to whatever conclusion they're going to come to, which is nonsense, and we know that,
yeah,
teams will start saying, like, hey, what'd you guys find out? Where do we stand with this? And if there's not, like, a whole lot more to come out, if it's not just the tip of the iceberg, somebody will take a shot. It might not be this year. I don't know how long the investigation takes, but somebody will sign him.
Has to – Yeah, because I'm thinking about my Jets, and I'm like, it's just not going to work in New York because they're no. The media will torture them. It's going to have to be a small market now. Right?
Yeah, I mean, but –
where are you going to go? Cincinnati?
And that's the thing. I don't know that he wants to go there, so I'm not sure there's a match anymore.
What if Ian Rappaport is right and he's going to Buffalo?
That'd be interesting.
He was just right like 7 months late.
This whole thing is crazy. Yeah, so AB is available. He was cut by the Patriots. All right, Raiders, big game on the way. We're going to talk to radio pre- and post-game host Tim Cates and get the latest skinny on the Raiders, especially on the injury front.
The Big Five at Five. Brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers.
Raider Nation!
Let's go! Let's go!
Raider Nation!
Let's go!
Here's Jacobs on a beautiful cut to Daylight. 30, 35 outside the numbers. 45 midfield. And Ayo still wrestling. He's down at the 30. His longest run as a Raider. He is at the 30 with a 51-yard run.
Now, back to the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas, for Football Friday on Cofield and Company.
One of the positives of last week's game, offensively it happened mostly early in the game, although that was a little later. Josh Jacobs with the 51-yard run, Adam Hill, Mark McMillan, Cofield here at the Golden Nugget. Tim Cates does pre and post for Compass Media. That's where we got that call from, and it's going to help us preview this week's game against the Vikings. How you doing, Tim?
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
We're good. You know, before we get into the Raiders, we got to talk about an ex-Raider. What's your reaction to what went down today with Antonio Brown?
Well, I think it's sad in the way it's all come together now. I mean, it's one thing to have a helmet issue. It's one thing to have an issue with, you know, something off the field that's non-football related. But something like this takes it to a different level with what we're talking about, the charges and accusations against them. And you got to give credit to the New England Patriots for, you know, 24 hours after this kind of all came out, you know, cut bait and get rid of Antonio Brown, because this is a much more serious issue than whether or not his helmet works, and he's able to play with that helmet and threaten to not play. So this is taken to a different level, and obviously he's had his issues off the field with the Raiders and now the New England Patriots, but this is certainly a bigger and more serious issue that he's dealing with.
The debate we were just having is, will somebody take another shot on him?
No way. I mean, if Bill Belichick is taking a shot on you, that's almost like last resort, because he figures he can fix you, and nobody else was giving you a shot. There's no way. I mean, I know the Dolphins are a terrible football team, but there's no way even Miami and Brian Flores down there take a shot at Antonio Brown this year. Until this stuff is cleared up, until the legal issues, however which way we go, we just root for the truth in this situation to come out on whatever happens. When it's ultimately all said and done, if he's able to come back and play, then he'll get offers, and there's no doubt about it. But at this point, things still got to play out off the field.
So Raiders get a victory in week one. Everybody's feeling good, even though the Broncos aren't, you know, the greatest team in the world. Then week two happens, and it's a terrible quarter, and they're never really in the game against the Chiefs. What do we feel about the Raiders right now?
I still think it's pretty good. You know, after 2 weeks and minus that one quarter against Patrick Mahomes and the four touchdown passes, they shut out Kansas City in that second half. They shut them out in that first quarter. They're up 10-0. But the offense stalled and kept that defense on the field just way too much. I mean, a couple of positives. They held LeSean McCoy to 11 carries for 23 yards. They kept the entire Kansas City rushing attack to under 40 yards rushing in that football game. And Patrick Mahomes is good. The defense let things get away from him. They're on the field way too much in that second quarter, and that's when that score kind of got out of hand. But, again, if you're taking some positives away from it, and if you're the Raiders, you're feeling pretty good about the fact that you pitched a shutout defensively in that second half. Now, offensively, there were some issues with those drives stalling, and especially on first down, not getting positive yardage or finding themselves with penalties on first down, and they're playing from behind the chains. And in that case, you know, they don't have the playmakers right now to get the ball downfield and orchestrate these long drives like they want to. But, you know, again, Derek Carr and the offense, they played well early on. They did the same thing the week before, but, you know, they need to start stringing together these drives in the second half. They just didn't do it on Sunday.
So one of the problems that they had in that second quarter, and certainly going up against the Chiefs, you're going to have some problems in the secondary, but it seemed to be communication issues on a couple of those big plays. How concerning is that, and how simple would that be to figure out? So should we think maybe they can iron those things out quickly?
I think so. I think you're going to figure, you know, they got LaMarcus Joyner back there. He's a veteran. You know, think about, I know he's not in the secondary, but Vontaze Perfect's really the leader on that defense. He'll get things ironed out. He'll make sure guys are lined up. He'll make sure everybody's on the same page as a leader of that defense. And you know, he's playing a little banged up as well. He's only got 10 tackles in the first 2 weeks, but his tackle number shouldn't really be reflective as far as the production he's providing to this Raiders defense. You're talking about a young defensive line and a young secondary outside of LaMarcus Joyner. You know, Joyner and Burfict are the two veterans, the grizzled veterans on this defense. Tahir Whitehead is a guy who's been around, but, you know, really getting his first shot here at the Raiders. You know, for Vontaze Burfict, he's the heart and soul. So he'll get these guys lined up. He'll get it straightened out. You know, defensively in the third and fourth quarter, they figured it out. They were able to stop those long passes from Patrick Mahomes and you know, stay in front of the guys all defensively. So, again, I think it was an anomaly in that second quarter. It really got away from them, and I think the representation of what happened in the third and fourth quarter is more about what this Raiders defense is becoming. And that's a pretty good defense in the AFC West.
Offensive line was the story coming out of week one. Week two kind of maybe took a step backwards. Obviously Trent Brown leaving the game really didn't help at all. We saw two really quick sacks after he was out. But where does the offensive line stand right now?
The offensive line's getting better. I mean, Trent Brown today worked out with the team. During the media session, you know, he was out there for a little bit, then went back inside and came back out. It's still questionable whether or not he'll play. They're going to need him at right tackle. The good thing is they're getting Richie Incognito back. He's done with his two-game suspension. And the fact that he's coming back at the guard position, and he's fired up. He's ready to go. He wants to prove that he can come back and play at a high level. And when he was good and healthy a couple years ago, he was still a Pro Bowl offensive lineman. So if he can get back there and help out this offensive line, Colton Miller has played really well the first couple of games. And, you know, go back against that game against Denver, what he did against that defensive front of the Broncos. You know, this is a guy who's really continuing to get better, getting stronger, get more physical up front. And a lot of people questioned that pick out of UCLA a year ago, and certainly kind of raised a lot of eyebrows, but he's certainly come into form there at the left tackle spot in year two. They were young at the guards because of injuries, but again, you're getting Richie Incognito back now, and you throw in a somewhat healthy Trent Brown, assuming he can go on Sunday. I'm feeling pretty good about this offensive line as they move forward.
We talked about Antonio Brown earlier, so we can talk about the receiving core in Oakland. Tyrell Williams has been really good, but he would look great as a number two receiver. Now that he's forced into the number one role, who is going to step up and be that number two guy? I know who the fans want it to be. I know who I'd kind of like it to be. We didn't see a whole lot of Keelan Doss out there. Who is that number two guy?
Well, we've seen Ryan Grant, you know, get some opportunities. Last week he had Hunter Renfrow. I think he was targeted like 8 times, but only had 4 catches in that loss to Kansas City. He's a guy who can get in the slot and get you that first down, pick up those 7 yards on a third down catch if you need. I think that's him. I think Hunter Renfrow is going to be that next guy. Don't forget, Darren Waller, the tight end, is really like a wide receiver playing the tight end spot. And he's a guy that can catch anything that's around him. And he's so physically strong as well that he's not afraid to go over the middle. He's also not a guy who's afraid to put his hand in the dirt and block if necessary. Darren Waller is almost like that second wide receiver at the tight end spot. If Foster Moreau can get going, you can have two tight ends helping out this Raiders offense. But, again, I think it's Hunter Renfrow. I know a lot of Raider fans want Keelan Doss. I think it's still early with him. Once he gets a couple of games and reps underneath his belt, he could get into this rotation and get some targets towards him. But to me, I think it's Hunter Renfrow, and the fact that he can get some more catches, more than just the four that he had a week ago, he could be that third option. Again, Tyrell Williams, as you mentioned, is the number one wide receiver right now, and nobody thought he would be. We all thought Antonio Brown would be. But with the circumstances the way they are, you know, Tyrell Williams is your one. Darren Waller, even though he's a tight end, is really your number two receiver, and Hunter Renfrow needs to step up and be that third guy.
Talking Raiders, Tim Cates is on the horn. Tim, of course, from Raiders Radio, does pre and post. This matchup's weird, especially for the defense. I thought this would be a well-rounded offense on the Vikings side. Dalvin Cook has looked great, but my God, Kirk Cousins, you don't want to sleep on him because he put up some big numbers in games last year, but what the hell's going on with the Vikings pass game?
Yeah, that's a great question, and they've got the veterans outside, on the outside that he's throwing to, but again, this is an offense that's centered around the run. You mentioned Dalvin Cook, and right now he's leading, I believe, the NFL in running the football. That's their bread and butter. They're going to run the football at you, and then Kirk Cousins, if necessary, is just going to manage the game for him. You know, this is a team that's playing in a tough division, no doubt about it, in the NFC North, and coming off a tough loss at Green Bay, the game they could have won a week ago. They beat the Falcons at home in week one. This is an interesting team. You know, Kirk Cousins, looking to show a lot of people that he's, you know, worth that big contract that he got, just the 328 yards passing, only the two touchdowns, the two picks. It's going to be around Dalvin Cook. And the thing for the Raiders is if they can stop that run, and they did a pretty good job again, holding the Chiefs to under 50 yards last week. If they can contain Dalvin Cook, you know, look out. That's going to force Kirk Cousins to have to throw the ball to the guys on the outside. And, you know, Kyle Rudolph. I mean, remember, guys, the tight end is a spot that kills the Raiders. I mean, it doesn't matter who's playing the Raiders. The tight end on the opposition always seems to have big games against them, always finds to find the middle of the field for long catches. So look out for Kyle Rudolph to maybe have a big game, if anybody, as far as catching the ball for Minnesota.
Kelsey last week, 7 catches, 107 yards. So it's Vegas. We talk point spreads. I'm taking the Raiders +9, but I'm more curious about the pace of the game. What do you think is going to happen? The total's 43.5, 44. We get a high-scoring game here or a slobber knocker in the teens?
I don't think it's going to be in the teens. I think you guys in the desert have it pretty right on, 43, 44 points. I don't think it's a high-scoring affair because I don't think either team's got those juggernaut offenses. They're going to score quick, and the defenses are still pretty good that these teams are. I mean, let's face it, the Vikings have one of the most experienced veterans defenses out there. I mean, you got guys up front that are Pro Bowlers. You got Eric Kendrick, the Anthony Barr, and, you know, Harrison Smith, the Pro Bowl safety. That's a really good Vikings team. It's going to be tough for the Raiders to, you know, do what the Chiefs did to them again in that second quarter, just scoring at will. I think it'll be, you know, somewhere 28-23, somewhere in that kind of range. The Raiders are going to win. I think this is going to be a big win for them going on the road in a string of games now where they're going on the road, going over to London to play. This is going to be the start of hopefully a good stretch here away from Oakland.
Last one, Tim. You're in L.A. What's the vibe going into tonight's game with SC? Really curious to hear what Trojan fans are feeling right now with a new AD on the way and a lot of them rooting for a new coach.
You know what's sad, guys, is nobody's even talking about the game right now. Everybody keeps talking about stupid Reggie Bush being back at the Coliseum with Fox and the crew there. I mean, that's all people want to worry about. It's not going to be sold out. They're not going to have a huge crowd. Utah, by the way, I mean, you guys know this. The last time Utah went into the Coliseum and beat USC was like 1916. Even with these good USC teams and these good Utah teams, they haven't gone to the Coliseum and win. They seem to beat the Trojans in Salt Lake City. So, you know, this is going to be interesting to see Utah, which I think for the first time since 1916 is going to come in. They're more physical. They got a great defensive front. And SC struggled against BYU a week ago in that front. Utah's even better than BYU. I don't know. I don't think USC is able to win at home tonight. The first time since 1916, Utah goes in and wins tonight.
All right, Tim, good spot. We'll be listening on Sunday. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
There you go. Tim Cates, L.A.-based, part of the Compass Media Raiders broadcast team, and thinks that Utah is going to win the game tonight. I was going to ask him about the point spread because I think he was going to pick the Raiders anyway.
Yeah.
What do you think? Seems high to me with the way the Vikings are playing offense.
Yeah, it just the Raiders were not able to get anything going offensively last week. And it's one of those games, it feels like it could be like that Falcons game in week one for the Vikings where they can get the run going. Although, Raiders' run defense has been really good. I don't know how. It seems like it's smoke and mirrors, but they've been good. Vontaze Burfict has really made a difference in that regard. So if they can stop the run, maybe it helps, but I just feel like the Vikings can get a lead. They can rely on Dalvin Cook, who's been unbelievable this season, and just kind of grind them down and not let them get anything going. That's kind of how that first week went. Last week, the Vikings played from behind, which was not good for them. It's not their style at all. But if the Vikings can play from the lead, the Raiders could be in trouble.
Our NFL Insider brought to you by Dustin DeHart, Nova Home Loans. You got to call him, 577-2600. He's got that $500 coupon towards an appraisal on any purchase or refi. Can get you down payment assistance. And best of all, get that mortgage tune-up. Go in. He'll check out all the numbers on your current house. Maybe you've got money in the house. Maybe your rate stinks. He can help you out. But you got to call him. Nova Home Loans, Dustin DeHart, 577-2600.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews. Cofield and Company presents...
Hey, hold on. Bag up.
Grab bag.
Don't touch it. Don't even look at it.
Only on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, let's get in there.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Rapid fire through the NFL. Games I'm considering. Adam, Mark McMillan, you can grade them. First off, I'm going to lay the points with Kansas City. I think KC got a little wake-up call last week, not playing well in the second half. They're going to be completely amped for this game. I'm not saying the Ravens are a bad team, but I think they go into a buzzsaw spot here. And I am not a favorites player at all, but KC's laying 5.5.
I think Chiefs win, Ravens cover. I think it's a close game. I think the Ravens can do a lot offensively against the Chiefs, and I think the defense certainly can slow them down enough to make sure they stay in the game, but I think the Chiefs win at home.
I think they win at home. It's a home opener. Everybody's going to be excited. Stadium will be packed. Everybody, you know, and the Chiefs can be had on defense, but they just score too many points, so the Chiefs will win this game.
Close game, or can they win it by 7 or more?
Oh, they can win it by 7 or more. Okay. Absolutely.
All right, Mark's on my side. I like that. Take stones after you watch a team just completely lay an egg and play like crap to play them, but I'll probably do it with Cincinnati +6 against Buffalo, but my God, the Bengals were terrible against the Niners.
The Bengals were what I thought they were going to be coming into the season, and after week one, even though I say don't react, don't overreact, I was like, wow, they're better than I thought, but they're not. They stink. The Bills just continue to benefit from a complete disaster of a schedule. They moved to 3-0, but they are feeling way too good about themselves right now, so I'll take the +6 as well.
I'm taking Buffalo. Like I said, they're feeling themselves. They're undefeated.
All right.
And you can't beat that.
I don't know, Mark. It's a favorite spot. I don't know if they're ready to be a big winner yet.
Circle the wagon.
Here's another one that's tough. A franchise that's traditionally not very good, all of a sudden laying 6. It's the Bucks against the Giants. Probably won't play it, but I would lean Tampa. I think Daniel Jones is going to be a disaster for the Giants.
Me too. He's not exactly going into like an intimidating environment.
No.
In Tampa?
Actually, in a lot of ways, there's so many New Yorkers down in that area, it'll probably be a 50-50 crowd of whatever, 25,000.
Yeah, so it's as far as making a road start in your first NFL start, it's probably one of the better places that you could do it for if you're the Giants. But I think their defense is just so bad. I think Jameis Winston lights them up. Jameis was actually really efficient and really good last week, saying that as somebody who has said he's been good every week.
Well, you are one of the biggest Jameis devotees in the world. But he was really good last week.
Yeah.
I'm taking Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I'm taking Tampa.
Okay. Giants not looking too good right now.
No.
Terrible.
Zona would not have been favored if Cam is playing. Cam is out. So, you know, the Panthers blew it in the offseason, not getting a real backup. Zona 2 in this one. You know what? Is it a square play to play the Cardinals at -2?
No, I don't think so. I think there's a lot of factors going in their favor. Certainly, they've been better than a lot of people thought defensively. I know they got lit up a little bit by the Lions in the first half, but they were a little bit better last week. Offensively, we knew they'd be innovative. We knew they'd do a lot. I can't believe Kingsbury's kicking field goals. I am astonished. It's maybe the most surprising thing about the NFL season so far.
Tell Mark, and I'm sure the audience has heard this a few times, but tell Mark your whole philosophy with field goals.
And they're ridiculous. I mean, almost all the time they're stupid to kick them. He kicked 3 last week inside the 5-yard line. I was baffled. I am a Kingsbury supporter. He's a new age thinker. I don't know what he's doing, but maybe he just panicked a little bit. And maybe he was scared of the Ravens' defense. I mean, that might have been part of it. But, yeah, I think he'll learn a little bit better. And Kyler Murray has been
so if you're
really,
a field goal,
really proven.
So you don't like field goal kickers at all?
No, you need him on the team, like, for a last-second field goal. And if it's, like, a 4th and 14,
oh, okay.
Like, something like that, then yes. But if it's 4th and, like, 4, ever, never kick a field goal, ever. And if you're within, if you're inside the 10, don't even think about it.
Man, I'm glad I wasn't a field goal kicker sitting next to him.
It's just, it's the numbers. It's the numbers. It's a new age thinking that a lot more people should be following. Texans going to go in against the Chargers and pull off the upset. They're getting 3.
God, Chargers are still very banged up. Texans offense really struggled last week as well. I like getting points in this spot, so I think I lean dog with Houston because I think it's a really close game down to the end. But I didn't like a lot of what I saw from Houston last week.
What do you think?
I like the Texans. I like what Deshaun Watson is doing. He's using all his weapons. I just haven't seen the defense step up like they should be early in the season.
Adam, Life is Beautiful. Who's playing tonight?
Chance the Rapper and Billie Eilish. Get on board with that
Chance
one.
Chance the Rapper.
Yes.
Who is this guy, Billie Eilish?
It's not a guy. We talked about it earlier. You're good.
who is she?
She's from L.A., 17 years old. Huge. She has blown up huge.
Oh, she's not even legal.
The last year. No.
I got this question multiple times from the audience. Adam is or is Adam way too old to be going to Life's Beautiful?
No.
You're in your 40s. Come on, man.
You got to make sure
for
you
like
post
a month.
You got to put some pictures out
relax.
There.
Relax.
Mark,
I need to see you in the car, Mark. You
saw the girls walking by. Come on. He's too old.
Yeah, you might be pushing your limit.
Don't worry about it.
You better keep your eyes up.
There's a lot of girls with some M&Ms on their chest walking around.
There are. Golden Nugget, get on down here. Great weekend to hang out at the Nugget. Go place a bet with Tony Miller in the sportsbook. We'll see you.